Good evening, everyone. This is Tara Gentile, and I am here with Bridget Lyons, and I am so stoked that you could come out here on an lovely August evening, or at least it's a lovely evening here in central Pennsylvania, to join us to talk about getting ready for much more than your 15 minutes of fame in your business. We're going to talk about what it takes to get your business ready for publicity, because Bridget and I believe very, very strongly in the ability of media, both traditional and new, to spread your message as a business owner, as a visionary, as someone who really is trying to make a difference through commerce. But we have actually seen this go very, very wrong for people, you know? A lot of people aim for that one hit in the New York Times or that one hit in like something like Real Simple Magazine. And then instead of making the millions of dollars they expect to make, they end up going out of business or they end up just feeling completely deflated from the lack of results. And so we want to set you up for success when publicity does come, when you are successful with that, and you will be. What does your business need to have in place before that happens? So, that being said, let me introduce Bridget Lyons. I am so thrilled to be able to call Bridget a very good friend of mine. I love hanging out with her wherever she's at, whether she's in Chicago, where she's from. I hope to be hanging out with her in Sacramento sometime soon. We get to hang out at conferences all over the country, which is super fun. But like I said, Bridget is a for really real friend of mine, and she's also a veteran of the PR industry. She's worked at traditional PR agencies based out of Chicago, including the preeminent Hill & Knowlton, one of the top three agencies in the world, who actually did the PR bid for the London Olympics that just wrapped up, or they did the PR for the bid for the Olympics. I said that wrong. Sorry, Bridget. So anyhow, they're a big deal, and she used to work for them. But now she's on our team. Now she's a media strategy for micro business. She works with business owners to help them hone their message and get it to the media in a way that really resonates with audiences to drive results for your business. And so, Bridget, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us this evening.
Oh, Tara, thanks so much for inviting me to this call. I know that, like, I love how you just said that I'm on your team now, because that's exactly how I feel. It's like I take all this knowledge that I gain, you know, working for the man, you know, the big companies and the big budgets, and now translating that for micro businesses is really my passion. So it's great to be here.
Yeah. Cool. I think one of the testimonials on your site is from Allison Gresick, if I'm attributing this correctly, and she said that you make it feel like we've got kind of this backdoor knowledge of the PR industry that we're not supposed to have. And I love
right.
that, because I feel like that in talking to you too. It's like, so that's how it works? Really? Really? I can do that? Oh, okay, thanks. And I love, you know, getting into places that I'm not supposed to be and seeing the back end of things that I'm not supposed to see. So I really appreciate all the knowledge that you're bringing to the table tonight. So let's get down to the topic at hand. Oh, I forgot all my housekeeping stuff that I normally get off the table. So everyone on the call right now is muted. You don't need to worry about barking dogs or screaming babies or screaming boyfriends or girlfriends. Just let them go. Let them go. It's fine. We've got a nice quiet line. And if we have time at the end, we will be taking live questions. When that time comes, you'll be able to hit *2 on your phone's keypad or on Skype's keypad, and that should raise your hand. And then we're also watching the Twitter stream. So if you're on the call right now, I would love it if you would tweet us out with the hashtag 15 minutes. So #15 and the word minutes, no spaces, all together there. So I'd love it if you would tweet us out and let us know that you're listening in. You can post questions there too and talk to other participants. But I always love checking the Twitter streams during our call. So thank you for that in advance. So, Bridget, publicity, getting your business ready. I think I've talked enough. We wanted to start off with the topic of branding. So tell me, why is having a strong brand, both in terms of visuals and in terms of messaging, really important to getting the most out of that PR hit when it comes?
This is just the best place to start, because branding is about not only getting the most out of the PR hit when it comes, but also increasing your likelihood of actually getting in front of the press. So if you put a little work on the front end into your branding, you're going to get double the results. And that's something that I'm really, really big on, is with results. I mean, I think you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but I've never actually read the Simon Sinek book, Start With Your Why, or whatever it's called. But I know. But that's, to me, it's so true. I mean, you want to start with what kind of results you're trying to get in the end. And so, when I think about branding, you had put out, you need a brand that woos. And I just love that you use the term woo, because I think the metaphor around dating is perfectly applicable to also talking about your branding. I mean, I've been with my husband for a long time, so it's been a while since I've dated. But, if you've ever been set up, right, if you've ever been set up on a blind date, which is what this is like if you're reaching out to the media or if somebody's coming to their site for the first time, immediately you want to know, what's he or she like? What do they do for a living? What are their interests? And honestly, you want to know, how do they look, right? I mean, is that the kind of look of a person I like? So you ask all these questions in advance, and then you go on that date, and you want to know right away, it's like you're trying to fit that impression of the person in front of you with the image that your friend gave to you, okay? So you're just thinking, do they match up? Are they consistent with what I've heard? And around branding, I mean, that's it. Consistency woos, okay? And dissonance, it distracts. So that's why it's so important right off the bat to be consistent, because both when you're pitching the media, you want them to see that you have consistent branding. One of the questions I get all the time is, do I have to be big to go after the media? Do they care about me if I'm a micro business or I'm an indie designer? And you don't have to be big, but you really need to be pro. And that's about having consistent branding. Everything from your logo to your website to your packaging needs to articulate your point of view just across the board. And don't forget your language and your messaging, because I think a lot of people think of branding in terms of their look, but not also how they talk to people. So that's equally important. Go ahead.
Oh, can I jump in right there? I think I get consistency, and I think probably people who are listening in get consistency. But you mentioned the opposite of that, dissonance in branding.
Yeah.
Could you give us an example of that, maybe? Because I see this often, unfortunately. but I would love to see, how can we figure out when there's a piece of our branding puzzle that is not fitting in with the rest of it?
Oh, gosh. I'm not going to pinpoint anyone, but I think one example, because I'm a writer. My thing is visual language. I'm not as good with the verbal language. I'm not as good with the visual. And one thing I notice all the time, though, is that people who are designers or graphic designers or they make products spend all this time on their visual branding, and they have this really great look and feel on their website. Their logo is really cool, and then they use corporate speak on their websites or in their newsletters. Right, because they feel like that's how you make yourself look pro. That's how you're supposed to talk to people. But if it doesn't fit, if they have this really cool and funky visuals and then they're talking to you like they're wearing a suit, right off the bat there's a dissonance there, and it's really confusing to the person coming to your website. And if they're brand new to you, which somebody coming to you from the media is going to be, they're going to see that, they're not going to know what you're about, and they're not going to take the time to dig in and really find out. So I think that that's where, the consistency matters, but also thinking, one of the things with branding, for instance, that I think that people can really do when you're thinking about the media is think, if I were a magazine, what magazine would I be? And then take a look at that. Actually visualize a real magazine and go and pick it up and look at it and see how the visual and the verbal language all all mixed in. I mean, when you think of something like Cosmo, right, you think about sex. When you think about Entrepreneur magazine, it's kind of fun, but it's a little bit more serious in tone and how-to tips, things like that. And so you start to see, you know, the media is really good at consistent branding. They have to be, and they've had a long time to hone it. So that's a great place to take your cue and study how they're doing it.
Cool. Can I share what, let me ask you first, what magazine would you be?
You know, I think that I'm a little bit of a mix between Entrepreneur magazine, because what I write is very pragmatic and kind of down to earth and like, let's get to the nuts and bolts, but maybe with a little bit of Bitch magazine thrown in, a little sassiness.
Love it. I was going to say I'm Bust magazine meets Fast Company.
I love Fast Company. I didn't even think about that one. That's a good one.
Sorry, I had to ask that question. You opened me right up to that.
I walked into it. No, that's fine. I think that's interesting that we both have that. Well, I think because we talk to a similar group of people, so we both have that entrepreneurship edge. But then, you know, I think a strength that we both share is just that willingness to kind of go there, you know, get real about something.
It is. I think that's what. I think that's originally how we met on the interwebs as well.
That's right.
From going there on some post. I don't remember what it was, but yeah. Anything else you wanted to say about branding? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you like three times.
Oh no, this is great. I love going deeper and, you know, getting the questions.
Cool.
You know. Oh, you were going to ask something else.
Well, I was going to say, one other thing that I really think about branding is how do you want to be remembered and what's going to make you memorable? And I think a lot of times that really involves tweaking one or two traits of your personality or of your business to heighten them a little bit more and make them stand out a little bit more so that people have something to kind of latch onto. I think, to use your metaphor from before, I think we do that a lot with dating as well, whether it's the way we dress or the food that we're eating on a date or the movie we want to go see. You know, we're kind of trying to push the edge on one or two traits of our personality, and it helps us to define ourselves and to become more memorable.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I think that, you know, especially when we're talking about small business, you know, micro business or the person who's indie, it's just you, right? It's just you.
Mm-hmm.
And people get afraid of like, well, if I interject too much of my personality, are people going to take me seriously? And people don't know where the line is. This might be a little off message from the media thing, but on branding, I think that's the perfect way to think about it, is you choose something about yourself or about your brand and you just amplify it. You know, you just push it to its very edge and then over that, and that's what your brand can become. So you don't need to talk about every single aspect of, you know, what it is with your business. Like, I don't know about you, but when I was starting mine up, I did a lot of those exercises. So it was like, what color would your business be? And if you were a fruit, what fruit would you know, all of those things. Now, I don't use all of those now, but I think there is something about identifying one or two of those things and just pushing them and amplifying them as much as possible. And that is a great way to create a brand.
Awesome. All right, so this is kind of piggybacking on the visual side of branding, but I want to get really nuts and bolts here for a minute and talk about photos and, specifically about photos. How do you make sure that the photos that you have of yourself, of your product, of whatever it is that you are trying to get media coverage for, how do you make sure they're pressworthy?
Yes, I love talking about this because in my opinion, and actually there's study results to back this up, but this is where I think the particular people who are on this call have the most opportunity, because I know that the people who are finding Tara are really, they value storytelling and they also value the visual storytelling. That's a big part of you know, what people are about. And frankly, most big businesses, the big guys, they just don't. You know, they're not creating infographics or they're not participating in daily photo projects. So this is a huge opportunity that this group has because it's something that the media really wants. And time and time again, they're saying that PR people and businesses aren't giving them the visuals they need. So to get back to your question, it's like, what makes a photo pressworthy? And I just want to say, you know, it kind of, it should go without saying, but I'll say it anyway, that they have to be high resolution, professional quality photos, right? That is the barrier to entry. If you don't have that, then,
you know, you're stuck. You can hire somebody, or if you're a photographer, go out and do that. But there's more.
Oh, Bridget, did we lose you? Hello?
And this is where it's really important to be realistic.
Bridget. I think I kind of half lost Bridget. Let me try and get a hold of her. Luckily, because we're buddies, I have her phone number. Bridget, are you there? Are you back?
Tara, sorry about that.
Yes.
I think I lost you.
That's okay. You did, in fact. So I'm not sure what you were saying, but can you say it again?
Where did you lose me?
I always panic when I lose someone and I never remember where they were. So you had just finished saying that the kind of baseline was high resolution professional photos.
Oh, good. Recently then. Okay. Yeah. What I was saying, right. So that's the barrier entry. You have to have these professional quality photos, but that's not all. So what you need to do is look at the press you want, consume that media, and ask yourself honestly, do the photos I have or the photos I'm planning on taking fit the look and style of this media? So an example, you know, we were talking about, like I talked about Entrepreneur Magazine as being kind of a magazine that fits with my brand. So if you opened up an issue of Entrepreneur Magazine and you looked at the profiles, you'd see that most of the entrepreneurs are kind of posed more traditional shots, but the background is in their workplace. Okay, so it's usually not a headshot on a white background. It's usually them in context of where they work. Now, on the flip side, if you had a product feature that you wanted to put out, then you might look at something like a Real Simple. And if you look at a product roundup in a Real Simple, you're going to see that their product's on a white background, typically. So if you were to pitch Entrepreneur, you'd want some sort of, you know, workplace background. And if you were to pitch something like a Real Simple, you want products that are on a white or a transparent background to give them what they actually use. So that's why, you know, to take the professional photo is the barrier to entry, but it's really important to go deeper than that.
Love that. And, you know, I think that even though we're talking very specifically about photos, I think this hints on or points to a larger point that you are always quick to make about going after the media, which is your job is to make it easy for them, right?
Yes.
So
if it's
easy for them to visualize you in their magazine, if it's easy for them to imagine you on their TV show, if it's easy for them to see your product on their page, then it's easier for them to say yes to your pitch.
Yes, absolutely. And if there's any one thing that I try to teach people to do, it's think like a source. So really get into the heads of the media that you're trying to reach out to and look at what it is that they need in their coverage. So if you're pitching a product piece and they have a photo on a white background, like a Real Simple, a short description, a name, and a link, then that's what you should put in your pitch. Because then you're taking, they're just so stressed out. They're so busy. They're so underpaid. Like, my heart goes out to journalists. And yours should, too. You should have empathy for them. It's about that mutually beneficial relationship. And when you can think about it that way too, you take out the fear of reaching out to the media that, like, oh, am I bothering them? No, you're a hero. Be the hero, you know, give them what they need to make their day better.
Awesome. God, you're
so
smart. I love listening to you talk about this. And I don't know how many times we've talked about it, and I still learn things from you every single time. All right.
Oh, that makes you feel good.
Let's set aside these kind of more branding questions for a little bit and talk about what we need to have on our websites to really capitalize on media when it comes. And what we wanted to talk about here was call to action. And, you know, I'm big on this, and I think probably everyone listening in knows I'm big on this.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you know. But I want to hear it from your mouth. So what are you looking for in terms of a call to action on a website to make the most and really capitalize on publicity when it comes?
I think that this is, I could go on and on about this, and I know that what I'm going to say is just going to affirm what you're telling your people, you know, what you tell people all the time. But, you know, one of the tricky things about, especially when you're talking about traditional media, is that you don't get to put, like, a customized URL. You know, maybe they're going to put a link to your website, but probably those people are going to find you by Googling you, right? That's how the traditional media work. They don't embed the links, and they don't say, oh, you want this special offer URL going to our people? Okay, it doesn't happen. So that's why it is so important that when somebody Googles you or they find the link to your homepage that they follow from the media, that it is incredibly clear what you're about, what you offer, and what the next step is that you want them to take. Now, because these people are totally cold to you, if you're a store, obviously then people should be able to shop there. I mean, I'm not going to say, like, you don't want to have a storefront where people can shop at. But if you're a service-based business or you do some more custom work that you need to develop a relationship, to me the number one thing you need to do then is have, you know, how can I capture their email and get them on that newsletter list so that we can then develop a relationship. But this is just, they're coming to you cold, so you need to make sure that they know what they're supposed to do, what you're about, and they have the ability, you know, to take that next step, or else you've lost.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So to give two examples of that, I think one, if you're looking for a service-based business or this kind of opt-in model of how to get people from homepage to your list, you can take a look at my website. If you go to TaraGentile.com, there's a big old, a huge orange button there that's a call to action. But before that, there's the kind of messaging that you would expect to see alongside my name when I'm in Fast Company or when I'm in Entrepreneur or when I'm in Bus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the other thing, you mentioned product websites, store websites. I actually think one of the things that owners do poorly is that they try and put up as much variety as possible on their homepage. And if you look at a website like The Gap or J.Crew or even like something like Warby Parker, there's a featured product or there's a featured theme and there's direction given to the customer when they hop on that homepage. So that someone who's coming to the store new or someone who's coming to see, like, what's hot now or what's new now, they have that answer immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else who's coming to the site who's not cold, who's a warm lead, they can go find it. They're not going to get turned off by the fact that you're featuring something else. But a cold lead is going to respond much better to a featured product, hopefully the thing that they just saw in the magazine or in the media that's going to affirm, you know, oh, that's right, I'm in the right place. And so I think that that's one way that product makers really need to think about calls to action. There needs to be this kind of featured product or featured trend on the homepage of their website.
You know, and you actually bring up a really good lead into another way to do this is that, you know, let's say you pitch the media. Now, one of the things, and it's a little complicated, and I don't want to get too into it, but just because I could go on this for an hour, but our lead times, right? So if you pitch TV, you're likely to pitch, you could pitch the Today Show and be on in a week. TV happens fast. If you pitch a magazine, it could be 6 to 9 months, depending on the magazine. So one thing that is really smart for you to do is say, when are you planning on running this? When does the issue come out? And then adjust the content on your homepage according to what you know because the media has told you what's coming out. So just be really smart and savvy and plan that kind of thing ahead.
So smart. So smart. I think that's one of the – we didn't have this kind of on our outline, but I think that's actually one of the difficult things about planning – in terms of your business, is lead time. Do you have any other advice on either planning to pitch super far in advance or to what you should be doing once a pitch is accepted in that kind of time that you're waiting for the media to come out? I know I'm always super antsy in that time period.
Yeah, you know, one thing that is always a little bit of struggle is that I find that people find their media work, it's like something that they know they should do but kind of put off and don't want to do. And so I think, a lot of people say it's something you should be doing all the time, but I think if you spend a certain amount of time every month or even during, if you know you're having a slow month, you could get all of your stuff in place if you're slow in August for the next 12 months. you know, and plan out. So you can say, you know, do I have something to do with back to school, or do I have a Halloween angle, or do I have something around the holidays angles, and plan and prepare all that out ahead of time. So that's one way to really kind of manage, is putting those things onto a calendar and just kind of batching it all up. I can't even – sorry, what was the second part of your question? Because I feel like I lost it.
what to do in the period between when you get confirmation of a media appearance and when that media appearance actually happens.
Oh, right. How do you kind of prepare for those things? So – there's so much you can do. One thing that people, I think, don't often realize is that the traditional media doesn't usually, like, if you're quoted in a newspaper, right, the newspaper is not going to send you a copy. or if you're going to be in a magazine and they accept you, you have to ask. You really have to be very proactive, because they're just busy people and things move around, and you have to be unafraid to say, you know, where is my story going? Is this part of a trend story? Is it just about me? When are you planning on running it? Those kinds of things. And then put it on your calendar to follow up and make sure it's actually running when they tell you it is. And so that's just kind of, you know, taking your calendar out and making sure that you're getting a reminder. But I think that a lot of people are kind of afraid to do those things, because there's this whole, like, mystique of the media, you know, and I was really guilty of this early in my career, of putting the media on this super high pedestal and feeling like, I am scum. I have no right to be reaching out to them. but when I got over that, what I realized, it's just imperative upon you as the person pitching to ask all sorts of questions, so you understand the context. Is this going into a special issue? And if so, what else is going to be included? Those kinds of things, so you can better plan for how, when those leads come, you're going to capture them. Because the last thing you want is to do all the work to, you know, get over your big fear of reaching out to the press, do all the work, do the pitch, do the interview or whatever it is, and then not actually having a system to capture the leads that come in. That's just, you know, then it's a missed opportunity, and your 15 minutes of fame are poof, they're gone.
so smart. All right, let's talk production, or sort of pre-production, really.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk about samples and having or excerpts, or how do you display your work for the media, or how do you show off your work for the media?
Yeah, so I think the days of sending, like, a press kit, you know, you send in a press kit to a magazine or a TV station and it's beautifully packaged, are pretty much over. People still do it, but often those things end up, you know, going home with interns or even tossed in the trash. And I think that nobody wants to see their products kind of wasted in that way. So samples have gotten to be a tricky business. And I know I'm talking about products now, but I promise I'll talk about how samples apply in a service-based business as well, because there's definitely a corollary there, since I can talk. So, you know, the best thing you can do really is just to always have images that, if you have a product, that you can send to the press, and then you can say something like, samples are available on request. So you definitely want to say, you know, say you're going to do a blitz and you're going to send out maybe 10 different pitches. So you want to make sure that if all 10 of those people say, yes, I want to see your sample, that you actually have the samples ready to send them. Don't promise samples if you don't have them. But if you have if your product is not consumable, you can actually ask them to send it back to you. So if it's in great shape, yeah, you can send it out again, which is great. And that can be, you know, a lot of media, they don't need the samples, but with some things, you know, they're going to want it, or some, you know, some things might actually want to take their own video or photographs or whatever, not rely on your photography. So you want to make sure you have those samples ready. Now, in a service-based business, you know, you have to think more creatively about what a sample is. So, like, Tara, let's take you for an example. A sample of what you do for your business could be simply to pitch yourself as an expert and say, you know, and here are, you know, 3 blog posts I wrote on this subject. So you can sample the expertise. Another area would be saying, you know, or here are 3 clients that you can talk to, so that they can actually hear, like, what is the cause and effect of the work with you, okay? So it's just a way to get that kind of, what is your product like? What is the outcome? for anyone who ever wants to pitch TV, which I strongly, strongly encourage, it is not as scary as it seems, and it's actually a pretty easy way to get in the media is pitching TV. You know, a sample there is taking video of yourself. So if you start posting videos to your website, because the biggest fear of a producer is that you're not going to be able to show up on camera. And so if you can take away that fear, you're showing them for the sample, which, you know, remember the media is a product. They have a product to put out. So you want to show them through a video that you take, which is an effective sample, that you're going to deliver a good product for them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
So,
samples are big.
What I think the point of pitching the media, the point of being on Good Morning America or being in Real Simple is that we get this flood of traffic to our websites, or that we get this flood of new customers, or that people are calling up Anthropology and saying, hey, do you have this product that I saw on GMA? But the fact of the matter is that the Russian business can be as negative as having absolutely no business. So what kind of advice do you have for people in getting their business, their systems, their production ready for that kind of an increase in leads or in actual demand for their product or services?
Yeah, so I think I have three points to hit on this. And the first is just really you need to ask yourself, can I handle this rush of new business? I mean, so like you said, or you alluded to in the beginning, there are horror stories out there of people who have had their product featured in Oprah
mm-hmm.
and have gone out of business because they can't meet demand. So the first point is just if, you know, you're making everything by hand or you're only consulting one-on-one with clients and you can't handle a ton of clients, then don't pitch the big media that is going to send you that rush. Instead, pick a couple that are targeted very specifically to the people that you want to sell to. Okay, so be honest with yourself.
Hmm.
So that's the most important thing to do, because there's other media opportunities out there. Not everybody has to be, you know, in Oprah magazine. It's not appropriate for every business. The other thing to do really is to two things. Do trial runs. You know, make sure that your fulfillment process is very systematized. And I have to admit, I'm pretty bad about this. But do trial runs of yourself. So go into your website and say, well, if a rush of people visit it, you know, what is their path through my website? What links are they going to click on? How are they going to sign up for my newsletter? And see what their experience is like, so you can catch any glitches in advance. So it's very important to do that trial run, looking at it with fresh eyes, or even ask a couple friends, you know, will you do this and help me catch things? What's your experience like? And then the last thing is, if you're really planning something big, which you should, I don't want to discourage you from doing it. So if you have this big leap that you're taking and you want a lot of big publicity for it, if you contact the media and you know when that piece is coming out, make sure that you just have some backup. You know, it could be your girlfriends, it could be your partner, you could actually hire people, but whatever it is, make sure you have the fulfillment process in place that you can handle that rush. And it's going to be hard hitting. So just make sure that if you know, okay, this is going to hit in 30 days, and in 30 days you have a few people who have told you they can be on hand if you can't handle it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that goes for things other than production as well. I think that – or delivery of service.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the most – or that's the thing that immediately comes to mind. But one thing I found is that when people go through – periods of extreme growth or even not so extreme growth, another area that really needs extra help is customer support or customer service. And also customer support and customer service is probably the last place you really need to be working in your own business. So having someone who can step in and knows about your product, knows about your process, so that they can say, well, the product is coming in off the truck on Monday, it'll get shipped out on Tuesday, it'll be at your house on Friday, you know, things like that. Having someone who has that type of working knowledge of your business, who can handle customer support, frees you up to handle the things that really require mm-hmm. your expertise or really require your oversight. So that's another thing to really think about. Once you've got that production angle down, make sure that you're prepared to handle additional customer support as well, whether it's from the website, from orders, from people just wanting to know who you are and what you do. You would be surprised, I think, because it's not just customers that come after you once you've been in the media. It's other
yeah.
media. It's people wanting to – it's new media wanting to interview you. It's people trying to sell you stuff. Have a barrier to that in the form of a customer support person.
That is such a great point. And there's also just, you know, so – create your own FAQs. You know, it's like if you think you're, you know, have an FAQ document. So somebody sends you an email, you have a stock answer. I mean, that's one thing that I'm moving into talking about a little bit more than just the pitching is I realize that people also just need to work on that messaging and having those messages. They're going to evolve over time. But it's just great if you get a customer question that you put it in a document somewhere with your response. So when you get it again, you're ready to send it out. All of those
awesome.
Little things. Yeah, those things really add up. And Tara, I'm so glad that you talked about, too, like what happens, because it's not just customers that are going to come to you when you're in the media. So, I mean, so many of these opportunities are, you know, getting leveraging that to get speaking engagements or other media. You know, the media, they follow the leads of the other media. They source their stories from the other media. So you're going to get more traditional media. You're going to get new media calling you. And so just being prepared, too, to rise up to all the extra opportunities that are coming to you that are more about publicity and leverage than they are directly about sales.
Yeah. Or be prepared to say no.
Yes. Yes.
I know that's probably not your first go-to thing, but I think, honestly, we need to be taking care of ourselves as well. And so you might find that when you get that piece of media that you really value – that a whole bunch of other media comes out after you that you don't really value. And then you need to say to yourself, is this a yes or is this a no? And if it's a no, tell them.
Oh, absolutely. And just always keeping your mind, I mean, I really advocate that you should have your kind of list of 10, maybe 20. You know, what are the most important media that you can be reaching out to so you're prioritizing? You're not overwhelming yourself. I find that a single person cannot handle more than that. I mean, I can barely handle more than that, and I'm a pro, so I don't expect anyone else to. But, yeah, so you're really prioritizing, and you're always, always keeping your why in mind. So what is your end goal with getting the media? Because it is not about ego. It's all
right.
about business results. So while seeing your name in some kind of story might give you a temporary ego boost, you really have to keep thinking about, is this going to reach the people I want to reach and further one of my business goals? Always.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. So I've got a random, well, not random, but I've got a question from you from the Twitters.
Okay.
From my friend Seshu at tiffinbox.org. He asks what... he wanted to know what you made of the Ryan Holiday book, Trust Me, I'm Lying. And I feel like you told me you had a strong opinion on this, so I wanted to give you a minute to talk about that.
Oh, my gosh. I was actually just watching a moderated panel with him and Peter Shankman today. It was pretty heated. So for anyone who doesn't know, Trust Me, I'm Lying is a book that came out, I think, 2 weeks ago. I read it the day it came out. I think it took me 2 days to read, and I was only interrupted because I had a client engagement to attend to my reading. It's called Trust Me, I'm Lying, Confessions of a Media Manipulator. And Ryan Holiday is the writer of this book, and he's done what he calls media manipulation for Tucker Max, his movie, I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell, American Apparel, among other things. And so he exposes what he considers to be the kind of broken system of the media. He puts a lot of the blame on new media and how you can basically kind of work the system and get your stories fed up the media chain. And it's okay. So my opinion, I have to say, Tara, when I read this book, I used to be involved in public affairs, which is like issue advocacy in government relations. And I got out of it because I saw firsthand how easy it was to place a story that wasn't always true, and it made me sad. So that's why I stopped doing that work, because I was very idealistic going into it. And then I would write a press release or talk to – I did a lot of work with radio and just see my clients kind of get in the news without filter. And it actually really upset me. And I like to say now that I use the power of evil for good. It's kind of a joke, kind of a cheek joke. So I actually think that the book – I don't want to opine on Ryan Holiday and, you know – who he is and does he have the good intentions that he has. But I will say that on the extreme end, a lot of what he talked about in his book confirms some things that on a much lower end I had personal experience with. So I recommend it. I'm putting together actually a blog post on that, but I do recommend it.
Cool. Thank you for answering that question. Well, speaking of questions, do you want to take some live questions?
I'm ready for them.
Cool. So I think this is going to be quite a treat for people. I hope, guys, don't fail me now. If you have a question for Bridget on getting your business ready for the media, for publicity, go ahead and hit *2, and we will unmute you and put you live on the line. You can also throw your questions out via Twitter. I'm less likely to see them there. And Bridget and I don't fight, at least in my experience, we haven't done. So go ahead and hit *2, and let's get some questions going. Otherwise, I will pick on people I know, I swear.
So mean.
I know, I am. It's my job. I'm the kick-in-the-pants business coach. Come on, guys. When else have you had the opportunity to ask a burning question of a media strategist? That's why you're here, right? Hit *2 on your keypad if you've got a question. I know you're listening. You're going to embarrass me in front of my friends.
Aw.
There we go. Here's somebody. Looks like this is Robin Kramer from San Francisco.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi. I was wondering, you know, there's so many different – once you get media and, you know, you make the calls, I find it very challenging to actually get them on the phone. And I find that's the only way that I can actually get in front of them or confirm sending product to them, because I know blindly sending product is not really the way to go.
Right.
So what is the best way? I mean, I know it's being persistent, but I find that if I know somebody who's had great success with an editor, that if I, you know, can get in that way, that's been really good. But what if I don't have that connection, what do I do?
Yeah, so it's a trick, isn't it? Because, like I said, the media, they're very busy. They're super overwhelmed. And, Robin, you were totally right that getting the media on the phone, while everyone says they don't want phone calls, it is the most effective way. I mean, I've gotten clients on CNN and Bloomberg, and that happened on the phone. It didn't happen over email. You don't get it that way as often. So on a really basic level, there's things like don't call them on a Monday or a Friday. And if you're contacting somebody, this is just the very pragmatic stuff, like if you're contacting somebody who does a radio or a TV show, call them 15 minutes after they get off the air, because after that they're leaving. Never call them before they go on the air. They don't like that. They'll get really mad. Or never make the mistake of calling them while they're on the air. I've seen that happen, and wow, people get, don't you watch my show? So there's that. I mean, there is the, you know, being very persistent, trying to make sure that you're reaching out to them during the business days, you know, Tuesday through Thursday. Okay, there's that kind of thing. But there's also a lot of opportunities now that didn't used to exist because of Twitter and blogging. There, a lot of the journalists are on Twitter. They're a little harder to find because they don't usually publicize it that much, but there is this amazing website. It is called muckrack.com. Everybody, are you writing this down? It's called muckrack.com.
And, M-U-C-K-R-A-C-K?
Yes. So they actually list the social media profiles for journalists. I know in the U.S. and Canada and in Great Britain, I'm not sure so much about what other countries they do, on their website. So, for instance, you could search the New York Times and you can search by name or by beat, which is a subject area that a journalist covers, and actually find, if they have one, their Twitter handles and start building a relationship that way.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's sneaky. And, you know, a lot of them don't have big following because they're not super public about it. Not a lot of people have picked up to it. So you want to be kind of careful. You don't want to, you know, you never pitch over Twitter. Build a relationship over Twitter and then follow up in an email or a phone call with a pitch. That is one, unless they're asking for a pitch on Twitter, if they say, I need a source for X, don't pitch them on Twitter. But it is a great way to build a relationship to get that foot in the door. The same thing as, you know, Googling their name and, commenting on their articles. I've had a client who was actually in the Wall Street Journal because there was a columnist there. I forget who it was, but there was a columnist there that we were really interested in, and he just started commenting on the articles. And columnists in newspapers don't get as many comments as bloggers do, and so they notice and they'll use you as a source if you're commenting on topic and, you know, intelligently. So there's some sneaky social media ways to get in the door.
Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you,
you're
Robin.
Welcome.
Great question.
Robin, good luck. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, what's going on with my computer? Who else has a question? Go ahead and hit star 2 if you do. Or is everyone asleep? Oh, here we go. Here's another one. This looks like a cell phone ending in 5936. If you just raise your hand, you're unmuted.
I did. This is Laura Tepfer, and I'm also near San Francisco. I'm in Vallejo, California. And I actually have two questions, if I may sneak them in. And
sure.
The first one, I thought that your comment about how some companies that go out of business when they're mentioned on Oprah because they just don't have the scale to produce what the demand would call for kind of raised the question of, do you have any sense of a rule of thumb of how great a circulation could, you know, correlate with the level of production of the company, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't have a hard and firm number, but I do know that there are some magazines that simply they will not promote a product that is not available in like a I want to say like a chain store. You know, if you have a product that people can't just go to, you know, Walmart or an Amazon or even something like an Anthropology and buy that you can get anywhere, they won't promote your product. And one clear example of that that I've heard a lot about, and they will ask you, you know, where is your distribution, is Martha Stewart. So Martha Stewart is on that scale. And from their perspective, the reason they do this is that they say, well, why would we put something in our hugely distributed magazine that our readers can't buy?
So
it's not – I don't have a circulation number, but it's kind of thinking that if the magazine is or media outlet is trying to reach everyone and you're actually promoting a product, then that everyone should be able to buy it in some way. Now, if you're doing a personal story or say you're a stylist and you're doing style tips or something like that, then that same barrier of entry, I mean, that's not the same. So that's for a product base. You don't generally run into that if you're doing like a how-to or a tips piece like you would if you're just saying, I want to be in your roundup, like a gift guide or something like that. Yeah, that helps.
And then the second question was when you're talking about how it may not necessarily be sales that you get for the publicity, but you can leverage it into speaking or into other events, do you have any sense of what is the most effective use of your time if you're picked up by media? I mean, is it more effective to do a presentation? Is it more effective to write be in another magazine? Do you have any ideas about what's the best use of leveraging that attention?
Okay, so in leveraging the attention. You know, unfortunately, it's a tricky answer because it depends on, you know, what it is that you're trying to sell or what it is you're trying to get. Number one thing everyone must do, slap that media logo on the homepage of your website. Okay? Because that is immediate. I mean, people online are always talking about social proof, right? But that is an immediate stamp of approval. So, and this is across the board. So one thing that mainstream media can give you that is very hard to get and what makes it so valuable is that you've made it through a gatekeeper. You've made it through a gatekeeper that still has this vetting process and this credibility in the public eye. So anywhere you can tell people about that, whether they're your current customers or if you're pitching another opportunity. Now, the only caveat to that is don't pitch the media by mentioning that you were covered in another media outlet because they like to think that they've discovered you. They might on their own end go find you in another media outlet, but you shouldn't do that. It's very taboo. But, you know, telling your, you know, the people that you're already in contact with, that could really leverage some things to you. Or if you want to do a speaking opportunity in your proposal, absolutely put a link to that media. Slap it all over your website. Because then instantly whenever somebody else comes to you, they're going to see that and they're going to go, oh, she's been approved by, you know, Real Simple or the Today Show or her local newspaper, whatever it is, that instantly gives you credibility. Does that answer the question, the specific question you had?
It's a total answer, but it's a really good idea of, you know, where to what to think about.
Yeah, it's hard because it completely depends on what it is that you're trying to do, you know, as a result. It's all about what your business results that you need are.
Yeah. So the context is everything.
Yes.
All right, great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your questions.
That's a great question.
All right. Well, Bridget, I want to give you a little time to talk about where people can find you. But first, I want to give my own pitch for something of yours, which is your newsletter. I send people to your newsletter all the time. Well, I try not to use the N word. We'll use the U word. I send people to your email updates all the time. Because I know how well respected your email updates are just in the world. In the world at large. I know how much value you are giving out to people. So guys, if you got a lot of value off of this call tonight, make sure you hop over to Bridget's website. She's going to tell you about the website itself in just a moment. And I will be sure to link to that as well in tomorrow's, recording email. But Bridget, tell us a little bit about where people can find you online and what you've got coming up next for you.
Yeah, thanks, Tara. Well, my newsletter and, well, my updates and news updates, it's good.
Email updates, yes.
Email updates and kind of my online home is at bridgetlyons.com. And Tara will put it there, so I'm not even going to make you spell my first name out. It's complicated. and I call my site Unfettered Inc. And what I do there is I really don't hold back. I try to give out everything I know about public relations, whether it's working with the media or crafting your messaging and telling better stories so that, you know, you're really connecting with your audience. I write about that in my weekly updates. And, you know, I just love doing it. It's a passion project for me, but of course it's also my business. And so on the business side, I have a course that I have just actually opened up. It's called Media Moxie, and I'm really excited about it because it's a 4-week online course. It's a telecourse where you go from saying I want to pitch so and so. So insert whatever media outlet it is you want to reach out to. And by the end of the 4 weeks, you've actually crafted your first pitch to the media that you can then go and send out. So through live calls and Q&A sessions and exercises, you learn everything from how do you set your objectives, so how do you figure out what results you want to get from the media. You figure out what are the right media targets that speak to the audience you want to reach, how do you find the contact at your desired media, so you're not just saying, you know, dear editor, you actually have a name and a personal email address at the media outlet to reach out to, which is really important for your pitch. And then you craft a pitch that hopefully has that, you know, hook in it that's going to give you that long-term relationship with the person that you're reaching out to. So I'm really excited that registration is open right now. It's at my website, bridgetlyons.com/MediaMoxie. And I've done one session of the course and had just really great results. You can read all about that on my site. And that's open through August 28th. So if you're ready, if you feel like we've been going over these 5 points or 4 points, I don't know how many points, and you feel like, oh, yeah, I'm ready to do this, I really encourage you to join me because it's going to kind of take you there to getting ready to send a pitch out. But I also hope that, you know, we'll just connect on Twitter and on my newsletter. And I just, like I said, I love taking the knowledge that I got kind of working for the big guys and using them for people that I am so passionate about. I'm so passionate about, you know, whenever I have a client and I hear what they're doing or somebody sends me something for my newsletter, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I'm so glad I get to help you in some way. So that's just, that really lights me up. And being on this call is part of that too.
Thank you so much. Guys, honestly, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's been such a joy to be on this call with you. It's been fun and, yeah, love to take you.
We will have to do it again because I'm sure there's a whole other part of this topic that we can talk about or can. Seriously, guys, I send all of my clients when they want to know, well, what do we do about publicity? I'm like, I don't know. Talk to Bridget. or anything that I tell them is Bridget's ideas to begin with. But seriously, she has rocked my world in terms of understanding the media and understanding PR. And whether you join her for Media Moxie or whether you just hop on over to her site and grab even more information than we talked about here, you will be a happier business owner knowing Bridget Lyons. You can use that on your site, Bridget.
I love that.
Yeah. So, guys, I think we will wrap it up for this evening. Look for the call recording in your mailbox in the morning. And I'm just super pumped that so many people made it out tonight on this lovely August evening. And I hope to see you again either on Twitter or Facebook or hopefully here on another teleclass very, very soon. So, bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.